morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. Let's begin our show today with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Our morning offering. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, in thanksgiving for your favors, in reparation for my sins, for the intentions of all my relatives and friends, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to the show. So glad to have you with us on this Tuesday, January the 31st, as we continue our celebration of Catholic Schools Week. In the Delaware Valley, lots of good things going on. And speaking of school, here's the man who's too cool for school.
Wow, Gary.
Dave Parker. Hey, brother.
Hey, Gary. Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
This is a little unusual. I'm not used to you sitting down.
Yeah, I'm sitting down.
Have a bit of injury today?
Well, yeah, a knee thing. It's right. A little strained. I don't know why, but I'm still trying to be active as an older adult.
I wasn't going to go there, Dave, but you know.
I opened the door, buddy. I know.
Hey, you know what?
Thanks.
We have a great show today, Dave. In addition to Dr. Ray Guarendi, who's going to be joining us later on to share some parenting advice worth ignoring, Dr. Ray is going to be sharing that. We're also going to be checking in with the president of my alma mater, my high school, Archbishop Ryan High School.
Wow, Gary.
Denise LaPera is going to be with us after the first break, and because we want to check in with her to talk about the things that are going on at Archbishop Ryan. And Dave, you did see my high school graduation
picture. Yeah, Gary. I was just going to mention that, Gary.
I have my yearbook with me today. I showed Dave the picture. Dave, your comments?
Yeah, no comment. No, seriously, he did post it or send it out on Facebook. I don't know how far and why.
Well, I put it on spiritinthemorning.com as well.
Oh, man. So go check it out, folks. You can see Gary, the young Gary.
From 1977. Now, Dave, while you're laughing at me, did they have pictures when you graduated?
Yeah. Well, that's a good one, Gary. They would hold them like in the old West, you know, and that long rod, and they went poof, and that's how old I am, you know. Anyway,
oh man, you crack me up. But anyway, it's fun. So we're going to be checking in with Denise to talk about what they're doing at Archbishop Ryan in Northeast Philadelphia, my alma mater. That's going to be right after the first. But man, Dave, 1977,
yes,
40 years since I graduated from high school.
Well, you know, when I graduated from high school, truth be told, 1970.
Wow.
Yeah. And, yeah, I think, I don't even know if Polaroids were around then. I don't know,
Dave. You don't, I mean, you don't act.
I still don't act my age.
I'm trying to figure a nice way to
I've
say that.
I've been told that many times, Gear. I'm trying.
But you know what? We try to keep young around here. We laugh. We have a good time. We talk about Jesus, right? I mean, it keeps us young. Hey, Dave, January 31st, it's a special day.
Yes.
One of our listeners is celebrating a birthday today.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Our friend Robin.
Yes.
Eliason. Frank Eliason's daughter, our director of operations.
Yes.
It's her birthday. Robin's a listener of the program. So you know what I think we should do?
What should you do?
Well, you know, you were...
What should we do, Gare?
In a previous life, you were a professional singer, so I think...
You got that memo, did you? Yeah.
I know it's early. Why don't we sing Happy Birthday to Robin?
Okay.
Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Robin. Happy birthday to you. Hey, that wasn't bad.
All right.
Happy birthday, Robin.
All right, Robin. Many more.
Hope you enjoy.
Young lady.
Hope you enjoy your day. So, man, all kinds of good things happening today on the program. And in sports news, we have some good news. The Sixers won last night.
Oh, okay.
The Sixers battled back from a 16-point second quarter deficit against the Kings. Mm-hmm. They won 122-119. So that's some good sports news.
Absolutely.
Their next game will be on the 2nd. Oh, no, that's the Flyers. The Sixers will be playing on the 2nd against San Antonio. It's going to be 8:30 on the 2nd. Oh, no, I'm wrong. Dave, I'm all confused.
Okay.
Let's try this one more time.
Did I wow you with my singing or something? Focus, Gary.
Sixers will be playing Dallas tomorrow, the 1st of February at 8:30. Mm-hmm. And the Flyers will be playing Carolina tonight. Mm-hmm. at 7 o'clock. So we're going to keep an eye on our Sixers and our Flyers. Pretty soon it's going to be time for spring training, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes. February is coming up, but just not too far away will be March Madness hoops.
That's right. Are you into that?
I like watching them. I don't do the I listen to what other people do with the brackets and all that stuff, but I just, and I know Villanova stands a very good chance.
So we'll have to follow that.
Of repeating.
That will be nice. We'll have to follow that. And on a national level, Super Bowl.
Oh, Super Bowl,
We will be talking about that in the next couple of days.
Okay.
We talked a little bit about it off the air. But we'll give our predictions.
Yeah, I hope the Eagles go win it. they're not even in it.
Maybe
that's,
you should study a little bit before
maybe it was a dream or something. I was dreaming.
Hey, let's do the. I want to do the gospel today because it's a pretty lengthy one, but it's a powerful message. So let's read the gospel, talk about that before we run out of time. Today's gospel comes from Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid. Just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this and said that she should be given something to eat. Dave Parker, that is an incredible gospel. There are so many things going on here. We see two parallel miracles that Jesus is performing, two examples of how he healed. But let's just briefly walk through this because I can't highlight everything, but there's so many things that jumped out.
Let's unpack it, folks.
Right. So the first thing we see is the synagogue official, Jairus, approaching Jesus and pleading earnestly with him. He fell at his feet, actually. He fell at the feet of Jesus. Now, here's a man, a synagogue official, a man of some power, but yet he respected Jesus, fell at his feet and pleaded with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death." So obviously this man had faith.
Yes.
His daughter was dying, and he knew that Jesus could heal her. "Please come lay your hands on her that she may get well and live." And Jesus went off with him.
Exactly.
And now here, great lesson for us.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, he had faith. And what was Jairus? What faith was he of? Probably the Jewish faith.
Right, he was a synagogue official.
Synagogue official. So, but look at that. I mean, he recognized that Jesus as a Jew was the Messiah.
Right. So now in your life today, what's the problem that you need taken care of. Is there a healing you need, a spiritual healing, a physical healing? Go to Jesus, because obviously there's proof here. He can heal you. He can take care of the problem. Now, Dave, here's what's neat about this story.
Regardless of your, I mean, you may profess not to be a Christian or to be an agnostic or an atheist, but this points out even someone who originally in this sect, you know, they were not Christian, they were Jewish, but he came to believe.
Now, and
the power.
And great point, Dave, because somebody listening to this could maybe just have happened upon our show today. Nothing happens by accident. I believe the Holy Spirit directs everything. Mm-hmm. So give it a shot and ask the Lord today for that healing, for that favor, for whatever it is that you need. Now, here's the very interesting thing about this story. As Jesus is going with Jairus, another mm-hmm. woman approaches him. Mm-hmm. A woman who was afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years.
Wow, that's a long time to be bleeding.
And as a result mm-hmm. of those hemorrhages back in the mm-hmm. time of the Lord, she mm-hmm. was declared unclean. So mm-hmm. she was an outcast.
Mm-hmm.
For 12 years, now listen to this part. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors, and I'm sure somebody out there can relate to this.
Mm-hmm.
And she spent all that she had on doctors. Mm-hmm. Not only did she not get better, she got worse.
Yes.
Dave, you talk about a hopeless feeling.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, I'll never be cured. I go to all the doctors of the day, and nothing, they can't help me.
But what happened? She wasn't hopeless. Mm-hmm. She heard about Jesus, the gospel mm-hmm. tells us. Mm-hmm. She came up behind him in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Not looking for attention, she humbly came up behind him and touched his garment. That's all she did. She mm-hmm. touched his cloak. Mm-hmm. And immediately, what happened? Immediately, her flow of blood dried up.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus healed her. It's
yes.
no big deal for Jesus to heal anything mm-hmm. that you are dealing with today.
Yeah, she heard about him and how he was, you know, a healer,
right.
And she basically took a risk. I mean, where, you know, look, she was at the end of her rope.
And how did she hear about him, Dave?
Well, through what? No, tell me, Gare.
Somebody
told her through other people.
So what should we be doing today,
we
right?
We should be, well, right? we mean, are telling know, other people that
and now
believe.
You're listening to this program, yes. maybe there's somebody that you know who feels hopeless.
Absolutely.
Tell them about Jesus or say, yeah. I'm going to say a prayer for you. With God, all things are possible. You know, we need mm-hmm. that encouragement. That's what happened. And here's what's really neat, too. The woman approached Jesus from behind, touched his cloak. There's a big crowd around him. Mm-hmm. What happened? He noticed.
Yeah.
And he said, somebody touched me. He yeah. felt it.
The power went out of him.
And that's how personal the relationship between you and Jesus is. He knows that you're in need. Every time you turn to him, he recognizes it. So now, Jesus, on the way to Jairus's the house of Jairus to heal his daughter, he heals this woman.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, just like that. While he was still speaking, so that miracle is done. You know, mm-hmm. he's on the way. While he's still speaking, people from the house of Jairus came and said, hey, your daughter's dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? Dave, mm-hmm. they just witnessed him heal a woman with a flow of blood for 12 years.
Yes.
And they ignored it, and mm-hmm. they're saying, hey, why bother? He can't help.
Exactly.
It's just amazing. And you know what? We do the same thing. We're reading these stories. We're hearing of the healings of Christ. And what do? We think, oh, he can't help me.
Yeah.
And what did Jesus say? He disregarded that message. Why? Because Jesus knows that with him all things are possible. And what did he say? This is a message for all of us today. Do not be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
have faith.
Just have faith.
And what happened then? He took Peter, James, and John with him, the inner circle of the apostles. They arrived at the house. They went in. What did the people do? They ridiculed him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my message to you today is when you try to express your faith, when you try to encourage somebody and say, Jesus can handle this, and they laugh at you mm-hmm. and they ridicule you,
mm-hmm.
they did it to Jesus, so don't be
exactly.
surprised.
Exactly. Yeah, do not be afraid. Take a risk.
That's
do
right.
It. Hold your ground.
And what did Jesus do? He took the girl by the hand, and just like that, he healed her.
Mm-hmm.
The people didn't laugh anymore, Dave.
No, they didn't.
The people started to take notice. So that's your message for today. There is so much in that gospel. Check it out at spiritinthemorning.com. Read it again. And remember that in your life, the Lord wants to do great things. Speaking of doing great things, when we come back from the break, Denise Lapira, the president of Archbishop Ryan High School, will be joining us. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for January 31st. Today we celebrate St. John Bosco. Before he entered the seminary, today's saint stopped at a second-hand store to get the shoes and clothes he would need. It was only natural that following his ordination in 1841, John Bosco focused much of his energy on other young boys and men of the working class who needed both vocational education and religious training. With the assistance of wealthy and powerful patrons in the industrial city of Turin, Italy, he opened workshops for the boys who were trained in such practical skills as shoemaking, tailoring, and bookbinding. By 1856, the institution had grown to 150 boys, and he added a printing press for publication of religious and catechetical pamphlets. For this, John Bosco is considered the patron of young apprentices and Catholic publishers. John's preaching skills helped spread news of his work and attracted other men interested in joining him. In 1854, he and his followers informally banded together under the patronage of St. Francis de Sales, also known as the Salesians. Members of this society concentrated on education and mission work. When John Bosco died in 1888, thousands of Turin citizens lined the streets to mourn him. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Take it all, every hope, every dream, every plan. Take it all, every weight, all the shame and brokenness. Jesus, I surrender.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That's new from Laura Story. That's Open Hands. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek, coming to you live from the studios of Holy Spirit Radio in Philadelphia. Okay, so I'm excited. This is Catholic Schools Week. And as I mentioned on the show earlier, I'm a graduate of Archbishop Ryan High School. At the time, it was Archbishop Ryan High School for Boys because I'm an old guy, 1977. Hard to believe it's been 40 years since I graduated. It's not that hard to believe, Parker.
Okay.
Anyway, so I'm excited today that we have on the line with us Denise LaPera, who is the president of my alma mater, Archbishop Ryan High School. Good morning, Denise. How are you today?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm excited. I'm excited to talk to you.
Wonderful.
You know, Denise, you just broke up a second there. I'm sorry. I don't know if we have a bad connection, but you just broke up. Are you still with us?
I'm thrilled to be with you today.
Okay, great. Hey, listen, Denise, let's talk about this. At Archbishop Ryan High School, which is in Northeast Philadelphia, according to your website, Archbishop Ryan High School is, as a community, believes in Jesus' call to live the gospel, and that's the foundation for your school community, and that a vibrant Christian faith is demonstrated to others through attitudes, actions, worship, and service. Now, I think that is so cool. Could you talk a little bit about how you work on that call to live the gospel in the day-to-day activities at Archbishop Ryan? Hello, Denise?
To answer your question, hopefully I'm not breaking it.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit.
Archbishop Ryan.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're losing you a little bit. We really can't hear you. Dave, why don't you try to make that connection again?
Okay, I will.
Why don't you try to call Denise again? In the meantime,
stand by, folks.
In the meantime, let me talk a little bit about Archbishop Ryan's focus. They believe that a graduate of Archbishop Ryan High School will spiritually live and practice their Catholic Christian faith, articulate his or her beliefs, values, and convictions clearly, discover, define, and develop his or her God-given gifts, and embrace Christian values during the decision-making process. Now, here's what's really, really good about this, and this is what I can attest to. As a graduate of Ryan, even though it was a rocky road for me for many years, and I drifted into lukewarm status as a Catholic, ultimately, I believe that some of the values and the lessons that I learned at Archbishop Ryan stuck with me, and there were seeds planted. There were seeds planted that were enabled me to one day launch into full-time ministry. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful to Archbishop Ryan for doing that. Now, do we have Denise back on the line? Denise, are you there again?
I am here.
Oh, that sounds better. Okay, we got you. So while we have a little time, let's talk about how the call to live the gospel is practiced every day at Archbishop Ryan.
So at Archbishop Ryan, in addition to the daily mass, the class in the day beginning with a prayer, penance, and reconciliation, we have a lot of service projects, Ryan for Life, Community Service Corps. We have in-school retreats. But what we do at Archbishop Ryan is we recognize that the education is the responsibility of the family and the school. Mm. And we want that experience of the academic excellence in student life. Everything that we do is through the prism of equip saints for life in this world and the next. And
nice.
We do that through our six virtues of excellence, enthusiasm, respect, integrity, collaboration, and innovation.
You know what's really nice, Denise? I was reading your message. You have a message on the website directly from you, and you said something that really touched me. You said, we're all called to be leaders by living lives of Catholic values, by preaching the gospel to others, not with our words, which can often be misunderstood, but through every action and every interaction. I think that's really powerful. It's one thing to preach the gospel to others, but it's another thing to also live that. Talk a little bit about that, how important that is to you at Archbishop Ryan, to teaching these students to live these values each day.
Well, we recognize that, you know, that as teachers, we have to live and model what we expect of our students. And it's our mission to carry Christ's mission into the world. Mm-hmm. And so we're very fortunate to have more than 14 religions on staff. Our school minister, we have an assistant vice principal who's a deacon. We have a deacon who's on faculty.
Nice.
And we're just, again, we're steadfast in that mission to equip saints. And we recognize that Catholic schools are a vital part of the teaching mission of the church.
Yeah.
And we must respond to the challenging times with faith, vision, and the will to succeed.
Mm.
Because the Catholic school mission is vital to the future of our young people and our nation, and especially our church.
Right, definitely. And it's so important to reach these students while they're young, because the world is a challenging place. And the world can be a dark place. We need to get future saints out into the world, right, and spread the good news.
That's it. And so what we do is, you know, we strive for excellence in academics and student life, and we realize that in every aspect of our programs, Catholic schools need to foster that personal relationship with Jesus and communal witness to the gospel message of love and God and neighbor and service to the world, especially the poor and marginalized. This week alone, Archbishop Ryan participated, like many, many schools, in the March for Life.
Yes, that's great.
This week during Catholic Schools Week. We are, each class is responsible for raising donations for the Brother Sarnelli House, the Gift of Life, Little Sisters of the Poor, the Margaret Costello House. And this week, we are becoming global partners with the Catholic Relief Services.
Oh, that's great. That's good news. Now, Denise, before, we have about 2 minutes left in the segment. I want to make sure you get your information in. If somebody wants to find out more about Archbishop Ryan, where is the best place to go?
The best place to go is archbishopryan.com, and our website, I think, is very informative and very interactive.
Very good. Yes, and your website is very good. I checked it out last night.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know what? This is it's so cool to really look back. You know what's amazing, Denise? I graduated 40 years ago because I've the secret's out. I'm old. You know, everybody knows that now. But I'm amazed at some of the teachers that I knew when I was in school. They're still there. I mean, they're not many, but there are a few still there. That was pretty neat when I saw that.
We have a great legacy at Archbishop Ryan, and that's our teachers who have been there for many years. Decades are really a testament to that.
Excellent. And I really want to thank you for coming on the air. You know, Dave and I would love to come and visit Ryan one day. I'd love to go back into the cafeteria, maybe broadcast our show live from Ryan one day. So just keep that in mind. We've done that at other schools.
We'd love to have you come out to Archbishop Ryan.
Oh, that would be so cool to go back into the cafeteria just like we did. So we'll be in touch, and we'll try to set that up. And that way we can highlight your school for the entire hour of the program. Does that sound good?
That sounds perfect.
Awesome. Denise, thank you so much. Sorry about the phone problems earlier, but I'm glad we got it worked out. Thank you for joining us today, and enjoy the rest of Catholic Schools Week.
Thank you. We're having a great time.
Awesome. God bless you.
Have a great day.
God bless you, Denise. God bless. Thank you so much. Denise LaPera, the president of Archbishop Ryan High School, my alma mater. Man, it's so exciting. And we're going to be going there, Dave Parker.
Yes, we are.
We're going to go back to the cafeteria.
Right. You hear that, Frank? Frank's not with us in the studio this morning yet, but
that's
road trip.
Right. So we're going to be doing our show live from my high school. Gary Zimak goes back to school coming up soon.
That's a whole series.
That's right. Hey, stay tuned. When we come back, the doctor is in. Dr. Ray Guarendi will join us. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit radio news update. Acting Attorney General Dana Binte is ordering the Justice Department to, quote, do our sworn duty and defend President Donald Trump's executive order on immigration and refugees. Binte was named to the job last night after Trump fired Sally Yates, a Democratic appointee who had publicly questioned the constitutionality of Trump's controversial refugee and immigration ban and refused to defend it in court. It's a busy day for senators on Capitol Hill today. Several Senate panels are expected to advance President Trump's picks for Health Secretary, Attorney General, Education, and Treasury, though final confirmation votes by the full Senate have not yet been scheduled. And tonight, President Trump plans to announce his nominee for the U.S. Supreme Court. The Boy Scouts of America says it will allow transgender children who identify as boys to enroll in its boys-only programs. The organization announced yesterday that it had made the decision to base enrollment in boys-only programs on the gender a child or parent lists on the application to become a scout. The organization had previously held a policy that relied on the gender listed on a child's birth certificate. And an auxiliary bishop who was attacked during a weekend mass in New Jersey has told his congregation he's doing fine. Bishop Manuel Cruz was punched in the mouth Saturday at the Cathedral Basilica of the Sacred Heart in Newark during an event honoring the late baseball Hall of Famer Roberto Clemente. He was treated at a hospital for undisclosed injuries that are not considered serious. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
You're listening to
Spirit
in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Before deciding to play Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. in the Christopher Award-winning movie Selma, actor David Oyelowo prayed about it. That's something he does before every job he takes. During the Family Entertainment and Faith-Based Summit in 2015, David admitted that people sometimes tell him to cut down on the God talk, but the actor said, "It's just who I am, and I refuse to censor myself or marginalize something that I believe to be a force for good." He added that he doesn't believe in hitting anyone over the head with the gospel or forcing his faith on others. Rather, he wants to talk about love, goodness, and light in a dark world and let that be reflected in his work. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
What can I do to leave a legacy? How can I speak with authority when I can't see you? I can't see you. How can I know the dreams you have for me? How do I believe beyond what I have seen when I can't hear you? I can't feel you now. starts with me.
And that was Tim and Start With Me. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Thank you for joining us. Let me run down the current forecast today. Right now at the Philadelphia International Airport, it is 27 degrees. Today it's going to be, we're going to have a high near 43. Chance of a little snow before 11 a.m. Daytime snow accumulation is going to be less than half an inch, so it's relaxed. It won't be anything serious. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 34. Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 50. Currently in Warminster, 25 degrees. In Phoenixville, it's 23 degrees. And in New Hope, it is 25 degrees. I thank you for tuning into the program. My thanks to Denise Lapira for joining us, the president of Archbishop Ryan High School. Right now, we are attempting to get Dr. Ray Guarendi on the phone, and I have to apologize. Dr. Ray's standing by, but we are having phone issues here at Holy Spirit Radio. So you want to say a prayer that we can get this connection established? I would really appreciate it. You know, to be honest with you, some of the phone equipment that we have is a little outdated. So understand that we are going to have problems from time to time. So remember that if you would like to make a donation to Holy Spirit Radio, you can always do that by visiting our website, holyspiritradio.org. We do the best that we can with what we have. But we are having some connection issues trying to get to Dr. Ray Guarendi right now. I believe we have connected. I'm not sure how good the connection is going to be, but we're going to try to go with it. I believe, Dave, do we have that worked out, or are we still trying to get him? We still trying to get in touch with Dr. Ray? Dr. Ray, are you there?
Gary, I got you. You're pretty warbly.
Hey, listen, I hear you loud and clear for the moment, so let's go with it, as long as you can hear me.
Okay.
Hey, Dr. Ray, I want to thank you for joining us on the program today. Every day at 1 p.m., you visit us on Holy Spirit Radio. You're a big favorite of the listeners, so I'm really glad you could come on the morning show to talk a little bit about your new book, Advice Worth Ignoring. Great book, Dr. Ray. We hear a lot of advice.
Thanks, Gary.
You know, we hear a lot of advice from the experts as parents. But sometimes we shouldn't take all of that advice so seriously, correct?
I've become convinced, Gary, that the net effect of what the experts have done to the parents has been confusion,
right?
A loss of confidence, second guessing, guilt, and a loss of authority with the theories and the notions and the ideas, many of which are counter to common sense and go directly against the wisdom laid down by centuries.
Mm. Let's talk about this for a minute. Now, you obviously give advice, and in your book you mention we've got to come up with the system to discern, is this advice that I should listen to? How can we do that? What's the approach?
That question, Gary, has been asked many, many times. They say, wait a minute. You're sitting there writing a book for,
yeah,
for parents from an expert perspective, and you're saying, ignore the experts. Why don't we just ignore you? And
exactly.
I say, absolutely. You can.
Right.
We need to judge expert advice by several keys. One, most important, how does it fit with your moral system?
Mm-hmm.
Most experts think self-image is the absolute prominent virtue. Well, for Christians, the absolute virtue is, among others, humility.
Mm.
Okay? So, when was the last time you heard a secular expert talk about humility in a child?
Right.
So, does it jive with your worldview? Secondly, most of us have some common sense. If you say to yourself, well, this just doesn't sound legitimate. For example,
mm-hmm,
let a child express himself. And you're thinking, okay, if we follow that advice to the letter, this kid could get pretty nasty.
Right.
All right? Now, many experts will say, but that's okay. That's okay. You want to hear. You want to hear his emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear his frustration and his resentment. Think that way. It's more important that you hear what he thinks as to how he says it. Well, now, most parents would say, I'm not. You care. Common sense. How does it apply with common sense? Well, ability only years from a childhood experience. We know, for example, you're on your kid, and you know from a
I'm sorry, we are losing the connection with Dr. Ray. Dave's going to try to get it established again. I really apologize for that. He's going to try to give him a call again, but for some reason we are having major problems with the phone lines here at Holy Spirit Radio. One of the things Dr. Ray was saying in his book was that we need to come up with a way to discern, is this good advice or is this not good advice? And he goes on through 50 common pieces of advice. And I highly recommend this book. It's Advice Worth Ignoring, How Tuning Out the Experts Can Make You a Better Parent. He goes through 50 items, 50 common pieces of advice on parenting, many of which we should ignore, such things as never let them cry it out. Put your standards too high and your kids will rebel. Don't make your child fear you. Don't discipline when you're angry. Don't punish with writing. You know, we've all heard these things. We've heard many of these pieces of advice. I know I have. I know my wife has gone through this too. We hear this advice all the time. How do we know when we should ignore it? Now, okay, I think we have Dr. Ray back. Dr. Ray, I apologize. Are you back with us? Dr. Ray, are you with us? Okay, we lost Dr. Ray again. Let me just continue on with these. And again, I apologize for that. We're going to try to work out these phone issues. Don't make your child fear you. Don't punish with writing. Always give a warning first. Pick your battles. Don't praise your children. Have you ever heard any of these? Finally, don't try to be your child's best friend. You hear so many of these pieces of advice. Which ones should you ignore? Which ones should you listen to? That's the information given to us in the book, Advice Worth Ignoring, by Dr. Ray Guarendi. And I apologize for the phone connection issues. We're working very hard to get Dr. Ray back on the air. If we can't make this happen today, we will certainly try to do it again in the future. Dr. Ray, are you there?
I got you, Gary. Can you hear?
Yeah, I'm really sorry about the phone problems. But as you were fading out, what I was doing was going over some of the common parenting pieces of advice and that you address in your book. And if you could, let's talk about a couple of these, because these are ones that my wife and I struggled with. And in fact, you helped us out with some of these. The piece of advice, Dr. Ray, don't punish your children with writing. What would you say?
Oh my gosh, I'm in so much trouble for that one. I've actually had nasty letters put on my windshield for that.
Whoa. Wow.
Especially when I do workshops for teachers.
Yeah.
They'll say, we want children to love writing.
Yeah.
And if you use it as punishment. And of course, I come back and say, all writers will tell you that if you want to get better at writing, you have to practice. You have to write.
Correct.
But further, you could say that about any sort of discipline. Don't send him to the corner. He'll hate corners. Don't make him apologize. He'll hate apologies. Don't fine him for not doing his chores. He'll have struggles with money.
Yep.
Don't send him to his room for punishment. He'll have bad feelings towards his room. Don't swat him on the bottom with a paint stick because he'll hate paint sticks. I mean, you could take this all the way out to ridiculous.
Right.
However, here's the thing about writing. I always tell the teachers, okay, if in fact we do not make a child write,
mm-hmm.
then if you are an English teacher, I want you at the beginning of the year to simply tell the children you will not be punished with an F for not writing. If you want to write, you can write. If you don't want to write, that's okay, because we don't want to make you write. I don't want to have to give you an assignment to write.
Yeah, and that's really good, because I'll vouch for this firsthand. My wife and I used your technique. My kids aren't happy about it, but it got us through. Writing is a very effective punishment. It worked.
Both of my children, my two oldest children, who wrote the most essays, are very good writers. Very good writers. My son is an engineer, and they have him write papers because he can write.
Right.
And my daughter is an editor of a journal.
Yeah. My kids write all the time now, too. And we punished with writing quite frequently. So that was a very good idea. Let's talk about another one, Dr. Ray. Don't discipline when you're angry. That sounds real good, but how practical is that?
Well, the reality is most of us discipline when we're angry. Unfortunately, if you wait until you're completely calm, you might never discipline. There is sometimes when anger is good. It's controlled anger. The child knows you have done something seriously. He has done something seriously wrong. When my dad got upset, mm-hmm. I knew I blasted through something that he had set up as a big rule. I knew it.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So if Pop waited until he was completely, totally calm, first of all, that's a state that most of us parents can't reach 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, how long would it take to get there? You know, if one of my kids is coming home at 1:30 in the morning when I told them 11 o'clock, I find out where they were.
Right.
And they come in the door, I'm going to say, well, I'm so they're not just talk at all.
Right.
Well, okay, maybe till tomorrow. But at some point, we all will discipline at times when we're angry. And that's just the way it is.
And that's good to remember, because a lot of times we beat ourselves up over that and we think, okay, I'll wait, and there's never a good time. Do you have time to do a couple more of these?
Sure.
Because there's one that really touched me, and this is one that my wife and I still disagree with over. Don't give a warning, or I'm sorry, always give a warning first, because I'm big on this. I've heard this before. I always believe in giving my children a warning. Child, if you do this, something is going to happen. My wife sometimes says, no, that's not good. What do you say about that?
How many kids you got, Gary?
I have two. I have 19-year-old twin girls, and we're okay. Still working on this discipline thing.
So back when they were younger and they mistreated each other,
right?
Did you always warn them? Did you say, now, girls, I told you, don't push each other. Did you, when something is wrong, in other words, mistreatment of a sibling is wrong, or disrespect of your mother is wrong.
Right.
You've already warned it many, many times. It's a house rule.
Yeah.
This is not something where you have to say, I told you now, mm-hmm. don't punch your sister. If you've been dealing with this for 6 years.
That's true.
How many warnings are we going to give? If something is wrong, it's wrong. They know it's wrong. You've
right.
taught them it's wrong.
Right.
A warning is just a way of being inconsistent in some respects.
And we've all heard these. We've heard these rules over and over. And eventually, we start to think, well, I have to listen to the experts. But a lot of times, as you point out in the book, the experts are wrong. Dr. Ray, you end your book with something very interesting. Your idea number 50. You've got 50 ideas in this book. Don't try to be your child's best friend. Well, that sounds like good advice to me. Why should I ignore that?
Exactly. And I did that as a twist.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very simple, Gary. You are to try to be your child's best friend after you're the child's parent. You can be your child's best friend. In fact, many, many young adults will say, my mom's my best friend. But you have to be the parent first. You try to be the best friend first, you'll get neither friend nor parent out of it.
And that's good to remember. That's good to remember. And I really like the way you did that. I love the book, Advice Worth Ignoring, How Tuning Out the Experts Can Make You a Better Parent by Dr. Ray Guarendi. Doctor, where is the best place to get the book?
Gary, if they want a signed copy,
Ooh. All
they have to do is go to my website, drray.com, drray.com, at the bookstore, and all the copies are signed.
Perfect. And we will have drray.com linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Dr. Ray, you're going to be on with us later today on Holy Spirit Radio. We look forward to the doctor is in. But I thank you for joining us in the morning. And again, I apologize for the phone problems. It was great for you to hang out with us. And I'd love to have you back on someday.
Gary, my pleasure. I'll see you at 1.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much. Dr. Ray Guarendi. And again, sorry about the phone problems that we've been experiencing. I'm glad we were able to hang in there. Dave Parker managed to pull it off. The man is amazing, working behind the scenes, working on the air. And now Dave's going to just relax because he's had a rough go of it.
What?
But we thank Dr. Ray.
No
for,
problem. The Holy Spirit's...
We thank Dr. Ray for joining us on the program. And again, you could find out more information about him at drray.com. And we'll have that linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Okay, while I have a minute, I want to highlight some of the events going on today, Tuesday, for Catholic Schools Week in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And if you want more information, we do have a link to this at spiritinthemorning.com, but you can go to catholicschools-phl.org, catholicschools-phl.org for more information about what's going on each day in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Today at St. Ephraim School in Bensalem, students in the sixth grade will participate in a religion lesson with invited parents and visitors. St. Bernadette of Lourdes School in Drexel Hill, where the students will show their gratitude to those who serve the community at large throughout the year. And what they're doing is the school has invited local police officers, firefighters, first responders, and servicemen and women to attend a community appreciation assembly. I think that's a really nice thing. St. Helena School in Bluebell, kindergarten students at St. Helena's will try to answer the annual debate, will Pennsylvania's resident weather-predicting groundhog Punxsutawney Phil see his shadow on February 2nd. So that's happening at St. Helena's. Lansdale Catholic High School. Hey, Lansdale Catholic, we were there. We broadcast live from there. Today, they're going to recognize Lansdale Catholic faculty and staff in the form of a Faculty Walk of Fame. Mary Mother of the Redeemer in North Wales will have the parish priests sharing lunch with officers from the student council. And St. Cecilia School on Ron Street in Philadelphia, kind of close to my old neighborhood, the eighth grade students will be performing song selections. Finally, Immaculate Heart of Mary School in Philadelphia will have Student Appreciation Day today with many many activities around the school. So we've got lots of good things happening all week locally to honor our Catholic schools in the area. Check out the website, spiritinthemorning.com, for more information. We will have it linked there. All right, time for our Be Not Afraid Bible verse of the day. James 5:13. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone in good spirits? He should sing praise. This is from St. James chapter 5. Verse 13. The reason that I'm talking about this as a Be Not Afraid Bible verse, typically you wonder, like, how does this make me less afraid? From James 5:13, is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Well, we got that. Usually if you're anxious, if you're worried, yes, pray about it. And that's what I always say when I go out and speak about overcoming anxiety. How do we move away from worrying? The way we do it is by remembering that we can always do something. We can pray, and we should be praying. So James tells us that. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. But is anyone in good spirits? He should sing praise. This is what we sometimes forget, especially if we tend to be a little on the anxious side. We tend to forget to praise God when things are going well. So we need to do that. We need to remember that when things are going good in our life, give Him a shout out. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for letting these things work out for me. Thank you for the many blessings in my life. It's really important for us to remember to do that, as well as to remember when to pray. If you're in trouble, make sure you turn to the Lord and ask for help. That's James 5:13. I will have this linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Incidentally, all of these verses that I use each day are contained in my new book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. Now, I understand the book is temporarily out of stock on Amazon. It came out last week. Thank God it really did well, but it went out of stock on Amazon. I talked to the folks at Dynamic Catholic, and this is coming from Matthew Kelly's site, Dynamic Catholic. They're the publisher for my book. They said that the order has been placed. It should be back in stock on Amazon, so you could check it out if you're interested in getting a copy. I say the easiest place to go to is my website, followingthetruth.com. That's Stop Worrying and Start Living. Listen, God doesn't want you to worry, but He also wants to help you. And as somebody who has always struggled with anxiety, as I have, there's help. The help comes in the form of the grace given to us by Jesus. He wants to help us. He doesn't want us to worry. But He just doesn't simply say, hey, guys, don't worry. He helps us through the grace given in the sacraments. He helps us through the word contained in sacred scripture. You know, He gives us a lot of help. So we just have to turn to Him and ask for that help. What I'm going to do now is close with our prayer, then we'll have a few final thoughts before we go off the air. Now, today is the memorial of St. John Bosco, so this prayer that I'm going to be using will reference St. John Bosco. We want to ask for his prayers. St. John Bosco did a lot of work with youth, so I think it's perfect for Catholic Schools Week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O God, who raised up priest St. John Bosco as a father and teacher of the young, grant, we pray, that aflame with the same fire of love, we may seek our souls and serve you alone. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for tuning into the program today. Thank you for bearing with us as we had these phone issues. Again, we're struggling with some outdated equipment here at Holy Spirit Radio. If you want to give us a hand, please visit holyspiritradio.org. Make a donation. We could really use it. We want to bring you the best product possible. We're going to continue to be here each day, getting you the best guests, not only in the Delaware Valley, but around the country. We're going to keep doing that for you because we want to help you and Jesus Christ become closer to one another. That's what I'm trying. That's my goal for the show, and I'm going to continue to do that. Now, tomorrow on the show, Johnette Benkovic will join us. On Thursday, Colleen Kelly Mast, another favorite of the Holy Spirit Radio listening family. And then Friday, Father Jeffrey Kirby will be here, as well as Dan Burke. Dan Burke's going to continue our prayer series. I also want to remind you that later on today at 11 a.m., we're going to there's a great local program that you might want to listen to. It's The Word of God with Monsignor William O'Donnell and yes. Janet Napoli, yep. Right? A long-running series on Holy Spirit Radio.
The longest, I think.
Is it really the longest?
Yes. Yeah.
So
make sure you check
that out. That's going to be live at 11 a.m. And we've got all kinds of good programming throughout the day. Dr. Ray Guarendi, who you just heard with us, he's going to be back at 1 p.m. on Holy Spirit Radio with The Doctor Is In. Mm-hmm. Dave, thanks for your assistance today.
Oh, no problem, Gary. Can I say something? I forgot to say this yesterday around the March for Life. I'd like to say a shout out to Carolyn and her sons, Nicholas and Christian. We were kind of hanging out together at the March for Life. And every once in a while, I would look off into I was just taking it all in around me. And then, you know, I thank them for, like, bringing me back in and not letting me get lost. So it was fun. That we were joking about that. Like, hey, Dave, come on back, you know. You're going to get swept up in that sea of humanity. Thank you, Carolyn, Christian, and Nicholas.
Yes,
thank you.
I'm glad they kept you. They got you back here safely and soundly because we needed you today, and we continue to need you, Dave. You do miracles around here. Thank you very much for everything. Thanks for being on the air with me. Thanks for taking care of things behind the scenes. And again, Robin, happy birthday. Hope you enjoy your day. I hope your parents really treat you well today. Hope you get lots of great things, and great to have you as a listener. And thank you for listening to the program, too. We hope to be back tomorrow. We hope you can join us. Let your friends know about Spirit in the Morning. Check us out online at spiritinthemorning.com. Find out more information about what we do here. And see my graduation picture. It really is there in glorious.
Oh, please, folks. Go look at it.
You need to see it.
That's really
back
hairy.
When I had hair in glorious black and white. And check out the bow tie, too. It's kind of amazing, but that's what we did back in the 70s. Uh-huh. It was a weird time.
I know. Maybe we should come in dressed up like we did in our high school picture.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah. Bring that bow tie out of retirement.
Good thing we're on the radio with that. But anyway, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Stick with Holy Spirit Radio as we take you to Birmingham, Alabama for Daily Mass, followed at 9 a.m. by Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio. You know what I always say? God is with you. You are not alone. Make sure you turn around and say hi to him today. Talk to you soon. God bless you.